Valentine entered the van through the open side door. Two razors looked out on the Dallas skyline and the roads and train tracks running along the western edge of the airfield. Their ready dust hoods hung off the backs of their helmets like bridal veils. Dropped playing cards lay on the van's interior carpet, the only remaining evidence of what had probably once been plush fixtures for road-weary vacationers.
I've never seen so many planes in my life, that's for sure. Howdy, Major.
Hey, Major Valentine, we got hit after all, huh?
I'm glad somebody noticed. Did it break up a good card game?
Depends. Lewis was winning.
Sorry to hear that, Lewis.
What do these air cutters got against the razors is what I want to know.
Valentine scanned the approaches to the airfield, then the sky. A larger plane, its wingspan wider than its body length, caught the sun high up. Whoever's up there knows. The second phase of the attack came within 5 minutes, as Valentine reported to Meadows through a field phone line, patched into the portable radio now installed in the control tower.
Holy Jesus!
The grass between the northwest-southeast parallel runways flanking the field bulged, then dimpled, then collapsed, sending a cloud of dirt to join the smoke still coating the field.
Between the runways!
Anka was positioned at a supporting column. And unnecessarily, as Valentine locked eyes on the spot and brought up his binoculars, a corkscrew prow the size of one of the old Thunderbolt's lifeboats emerged into daylight. Striped blacks and browns on a pebbly organic surface spun hypnotically as it rotated. Brown flesh behind, the snout pulsed, ripples like circular waves traveling backward to the hidden portion of the thing. It rolled like a show diver performing a forward twist and nosed back into the earth. Overgrown prairie plants flew as the giant worm tilled and plunged back into the soil.
What the devil?
Tiny planes whipped over the inverted U of exposed flesh. Valentine consulted the map of the airfield and its surroundings pinned to the carpeted wall of the observation van.
Tunnels, Colonel. They've tunneled to the airfield. We need fire support to grid N7. Repeat, N7.
The tunneling worm's other end finally appeared, another shell-like counterpoint to the prow. Valentine marked an orifice at the very tip this time, though whether it was for eating or excreting, he couldn't say. The two identical warcraft, turbofans bulging above their broad wings, banked in from the west, aiming directly at the parking garages. Valentine dropped the field glasses and the phone handpiece. Something about the cross-like silhouettes of the aircraft suggested approaching doom.
This won't be good.
Out! Out! Out!
Anka was already at the van door, perhaps ready to bodily pull them in from the observation post, but the three jumped from the van and ran for the central stairway. They didn't quite make it. The men flung themselves down, recognizing the rockets for what they were. The planes had aimed for the floor beneath theirs, as it turned out. The van caught some of the blast from below. Their carpeted cubbyhole tipped on its side, blown off its blocks.
Let's see if the phone's still working.
What if they come around for another pass?
They gotta be out of fireworks by now.
Valentine looked up at Anka, who was inspecting his puddler.
You all right, old horse?
Yes. The sight may be out of alignment. I dropped it in my haste.
Back at the edge of the garage, in the shadow of a supporting column, Valentine met Anka's eyes before cautiously peeping over the edge of the parking lot wall and surveying the field. Helicopters. Gradually, Valentine made out shapes through the obscuring smoke of still-burning jellied gasoline and the more recent rocket blasts. A great sand-colored behemoth with twin rotors forward and a smaller stabilizing fan aft thundered out of the west. Smaller helicopters flanked her, like drones looking to mate with some great queen bee. One of the little stunt planes flew in, dropping a canister near the holes. It sputtered to life on impact and threw a streamer of red smoke into the sky. Where's the damn artillery? Lewis extracted the canvas-covered pack from the van.
Field phone's still good, Major.
Spot for artillery if it's available. Target that cherry bomb by the holes and send base defense southwest to Colonel Meadows.
Base defense southwest, yes, sir!
Another plane roared by, seemingly inches from the garage, with a suddenness that momentarily stopped Valentine's heart.
I do not like these airplanes.
Valentine watched the smaller helicopters shoot off more rockets, but these just sent up more thick clouds of smoke, putting a dark gray wall between the observation point and the holes.
If we can't see them, set up the puddler. Lewis, any word on the artillery?
Sounds like they've been hit too, sir.
The twin-rotored helicopter blew just enough smoke away with its massive blades so they could get a quick look at it as it landed by the hole.
That's your target. See the smaller rotor spinning at the end of the tail? Aim for the center of that.
Smoke obscured the quick glance, but Valentine had seen something emerge from the hole dug by the worm, a turtle-like shape.
Our mortars, anything, get it put down on that hole!
Nothing to shoot at, my David.
Tell Meadows it's a breakout. I think the Kurians are trying to run for it with the helicopters.
Why didn't they just land on a street in Dallas?
We've got high-angle artillery there.
Sir!
The smoke clouds cleared. Some kind of bay doors had opened at the rear of the massive helicopter, which rested on thick-tired multiple wheels. The turtle-like thing, which looked to Valentine like a greenish propane storage tank, crawling across the runway without benefit of wheels, tracks, or legs, had turned for the big chopper. Ankah's gun coughed, and Valentine's nose registered cordite. Ankah didn't bother to watch the shot. Instead, he drew another highlighter-sized bullet from his bandolier and reloaded the gun. But the smoke was back. Valentine could just make out the helicopter through the thinning smoke. Explosions sounded from back toward the terminal as another piece of the Razor military machine was blown up. Ankah must have been able to see the rear rotor for a second. He fired again. Valentine marked the strange tank-like thing entering the rear of the helicopter. It was like watching a film of a hen laying an egg run backward.
Where's the fucking support?
Valentine heard engines on the ground. He looked to the south, where a few of the Razor's strange conglomeration of transport and patrol vehicles, including two prowlers, were barreling past the Statue of Flight at the edge of the airport buildings.
Whee! Holy shit, the cavalry!
Valentine recognized the salt and pepper hair of the man at the minigun in the lead prowler, Captain William Post. The aircraft spotted the vehicles, too. A twin-engine airplane swooped in, firing cannon at the column. Valentine saw one big-tire transport turn and plow into the barrage. Ankah fired again, and the helicopter wobbled as it left the ground, rear doors still closing. The helicopter lurched sideways. Perhaps Ankah had damaged the rear rotor after all. The pilot managed to get the helicopter, which was skittering sideways across the field like a balky horse, righted. Light caught Valentine's eyes from above, and he looked up to see muzzle flash from a big four-engine aircraft above. Some kind of gun fired on the approaching vehicles. But the Razors had guns of their own, and someone trained them on the staggering helicopter. Machine guns and small cannon opened up, sending pieces of fuselage flying. Black smoke blossomed from the craft's engine crown, instantly dispersed by the powerful rotors. Ankah shot again. The Razor vehicles had to pay for their impertinent charge. The military turbofan planes swooped in. Valentine grimly noted a desert camouflage pattern atop the craft, and fired from some kind of cannon that created a muzzle flash as big as the blunt nose of the aircraft, planting blossoms of fiery destruction among the Razor attackers. Post's armored car turned over as it died. Valentine couldn't imagine what the wreck had done to his friend. Like sacrificing a knight to take the enemy queen, even as the prowlers exploded, the double-rotored helicopter tipped sideways, sending its six blades spinning into the smoke-filled sky as it crashed.